From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. Last month, many of Africa's leaders arrived here in Idaho to take part in the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Among them are activists and doctors and educators, as well as engineers and more. And they're all looking to make a difference within their communities. And over the last 6 weeks, they've been finding more ways to do that through workshops and trainings that have been hosted by Boise State University. So joining us now to talk more about the program and its impact are one of the fellows, Dr. Julieta Tibiasiga, and Institute Director Ashley Nichols. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Hello.
Ashley, let me start with you. For folks who aren't familiar with the Mandela Fellowship, can you tell us a little bit more about the program?
Sure. So the Mandela Washington Fellowship is the flagship program of the U.S. State Department and its efforts to build relationships with sub-Saharan African countries. So this is the 10th year anniversary of the Mandela Washington Fellowship. And I believe there are 6,500 alumni after this year. And so this is really the United States' efforts to build relationships, networks, and help the future leaders of Africa develop and grow and build trade agreements and partnerships with folks in the U.S. And so there are 27 or 28 institutes across the country. Boise State is one of them. Each institute has 25 fellows. Here at Boise State, we're lucky enough to have fellows from 20 different countries. Our track here at Boise State is the leadership in public management. So we have folks that are doing really great work in public service from across these African countries. And it's just a pleasure and a joy to have this group here on campus.
Julieta, can you tell us a little bit about your own personal story? I understand that you were the first female medical doctor from your village.
Yes, thank you so much. So as I've been introduced, my name is Julieta Gosbert-Besiga, and I'm a Mandela Washington Fellow from Tanzania and a first female medical doctor in a small village called Kishuro. Yes, and I'm a third born among the 10 siblings, being raised by a brave woman. And it has been a challenge for a daughter or a lady to be raised in a small village with a lot of norms and cultures, but to make it up being a medical doctor. And it's we do say it's a prestigious profession because you attend a human being in different aspects of life. But also, I've been privileged to be raised in an environment where there were a lot of challenges, but being granted the spirit of persistence and to overcome all the challenges to make my dream come true. And this comes from the belief of many African fathers not believing educating daughters, but we do have some women or our mothers who are strong enough to overcome all the traditions, to overcome all the violence from their husbands, to make sure they provide a good environment or the conducive environment for their daughters to go to school. And by witnessing how my mother was physically abused by my dad, so it pushed me more and to persist in the system, but also to work hard while I was at school, from all levels of studies, from primary school, secondary school, and to the university. And the biggest challenge was the financial dependence my mother had to my father, because my father had resources, but the money he could get, he could invest in his own lifestyle, drinking alcohol, enjoying life, but not investing in education. Sometimes back in the days, I was blaming him a lot because but also it came in the air that he had no exposure and he had never seen a daughter in a village being in a other, maybe making it in education. So it is still now a mindset of many African fathers that if a daughter goes to school, they end up being pregnant, they end up being just wasting time and wasting resources, which parents invest in them. So my mother had to work hard, but also to seek help on my behalf. And also I myself, I was also introducing myself to a lot of people, telling them my life story on how they can help me to pursue my dream. So it has been a lot of moving out of my comfort zone and having all the challenges. Some people could accept my life story in a positive way and help me. But as a lady, you know, as a young girl, as an adolescent girl at that time, some wanted maybe I to offer sex to be helped. So, and also some wanted I to maybe to be like having a child labor to work and get money, pay my school fees, but also not my school fees, take care of my siblings, take care of my parents. There were a lot, but currently I do smile and say, we are, I'm that person who was to pass through these challenges and hence to help adolescent girls and young women in my community, to tell them and to be like an inspiration led to them to look at me and see, because I grew with them, so to see the way I came from and the place now I am and what I'm doing and what I'm aspiring to do in my community.
With that said, what has your life experience done in order to do the work that you do? How does your experience inform the work that you do today?
Okay, so my experience, as I've said, come along from the life that I've gone through. I've been seeing, but also I've been witnessing women being physically violated, but also some sexually violated because of asking for help. And as a medical doctor, I have attended a lot of women. They come to the hospital with no money and they need help to be attended. They need help to be maybe, for example, pregnant women, they have to come to the antenatal clinic. Some medications need to be paid for to be prescribed. So when you ask a woman, why don't your husband give you money to buy such medications? She ended up saying he doesn't care or he doesn't see the importance of I having these medications. So the experience of my own life story, but also the experience of seeing how women are in trouble of achieving their dreams, being trouble of maybe making their own decisions about their own life. So this pushes me to do the work that I'm aspiring to do, because I've been doing this as a voluntary work. So I want to be my permanent job work, my permanent advocacy activity, especially dealing with rural communities where a lot of women are left unattended. And because when the interventions or programs are offered, they end up being urban areas. So, and the experience of being born in a village, raised in a village, pushed me harder to remember where I came from and help these women and young girls to pursue their dreams.
Ashley, how many people are chosen to participate in the program? And I guess how many fellows are being hosted at Boise State right now?
This is a very prestigious program and it is very competitive to get selected. So in this year's cohort, there are 700 fellows and they were selected out of 53,000 applicants.
Wow.
And then here at Boise State, we have 25 of the 700 that are in the U.S. right now.
And Ashley, how much longer do the fellows have left in Boise?
About 5 days.
Oh my goodness. So the program is wrapping up quickly. So Julietta, what do you hope to take back and accomplish from your time here when you return to Tanzania?
Okay, thank you so much. The first thing I wish to take back home is the sense of community the people at Boise have. And saying the sense of community that there are people passionate on seeing community achievements in all aspects of life, but also the readiness of people to listen. I've been interacting with a lot of people, and that, as I've said, I had a lot of exposure, and I've been not behind. I was very in front, saying that I need this dream, my dream to be hard to a lot of people, so as to get collaboration, but also partnerships. because they're aspiring work that I want to do, it requires funds. And currently, I don't have a permanent job. So through saying who I am, but also telling my vision and goals, I hope and I pray that all my contacts, all my connections that I've made be a long term, and that I will fulfill my dream and help out adolescent girls and young women. But also the achievement that I want to make a bigger one is to see women having financial literacy and making their own decisions. And this will be made through having a big vocational center, which has never been there in my village. I do say my village because where I was born and grew up, and it will be like a pilot area, but also I would wish to scale it to other more villages where adolescent girls and young women are left and attended in rural communities to help out these women not to be physically violated, because having no money or having no power or awareness of making their own decisions.
Well, I want to thank you both so very much for taking time to talk with us today about this. We've been speaking with Dr. Julieta Tibiasiga, a Mandela Washington Fellow, and Institute Director Ashley Nichols about the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.